Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello and welcome to another Castilla Corner. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks, but I'm back. We're back. I'm here with Sam Sharp on Wednesday, the 28th of Feb. Castilla finally won a game, and how are you, Sam? What's up?
Yeah, very good. All the better for the big win, by the way, the massive win, out of nowhere.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it after seeing them lose three times in a row and drawing before that. Mm. I didn't quite watch the entire game. I did watch bits and pieces here and there, but I didn't watch the entire game. Did you do it?
No, I've only seen the goals. It's actually becoming increasingly difficult to catch Castilla games at the moment, just as rights get sold off to the third division and whatnot. But no catch of the game, just the highlights, which were good.
Yeah, good highlights. Nico Paz got a really good free kick.
In fact, his two goals were both unbelievable. I preferred his first goal, to be honest.
It was really
the free kick
goal,
was quality, yeah. But the way that he drives at the defence, he is impressing me. He's on 9 goals now, I've just seen, top scorer. He will hit 10 goals. And midfielders who get double figures are actually pretty prestigious for Castilla. In the last few years, it seems to have happened loads.
Mostly because Arribas was there. So
Before that, Miguel Baeza, like loads of players were hitting fantastic goal targets. And before that, it never happened though. So at the moment, what I will say is that there seems to be like a steady flow of quality kind of attacking midfielder, almost like hybrid second striker winger type players as well. If they can play anywhere, they will get to play attacking midfield, obviously, and have that free role whilst at Castilla. When they move to La Liga, things might change, who knows? But from the moment, there's a very consistent kind of talent path, and they're just churning out loads and loads of quality players. Both goals seriously impressive from him. Another star performance. Alvaro Rodriguez actually scored again. Have you seen that goal?
Yeah. I kind of forgot. I did see it.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was pretty meaningless. It was like 3 minutes to go or something like that. It's 4-1. To get him scoring, that's his sixth goal of the year. He's the second top scorer. This is his best, pretty much his best season with Castilla now, in terms of statistics.
I don't know, but
first team again the other day. Did you see that?
Yeah, I was just gonna mention that after this, because we didn't really discuss it before starting this podcast, but I think it's a good talking point to have. Yeah. I think if Joselu isn't there, Bellingham isn't there, having him on the bench just as an option to put balls in the box is not that bad. It's not the worst, even though I don't think Alvaro has had his best Castilla season yet. I even though he scored so many goals, I don't think it's going to be it is his best season. I think last season was much better the first half. This season he has the goals, but he has lacked a lot of the intangibles in this game that he usually does, which in fairness were present when he did play for Real Madrid. Like, few minutes he was there, he was pressing, he was a man in the in the box trying to defend crosses from Sevilla players in the last few minutes. Did play well. What do you think?
I mean, the best thing in his shoes is the fact that you're right. If Hosselu's not there, I mean, Hosselu doesn't start anyway, that much anyway, but effectively he is the second best natural striker at Real Madrid, which is for a Castilla player a nice place to be, you know. And you're right, when there's injuries and suspensions, he probably will get the nod just based on luck alone. This is luck, being in the right place at the right time. I will say that this, I think this probably is his best Castilla season. Again, performance levels aren't quite there. All I would say is I don't think the hype is there this year. I think last year, you're right, because of his first half of the season, the hype was mental. Everyone thought he was going to be, you know, the next original Ronaldo or something like that. It's died down. But I think this season is a whole lot more, even though the level isn't as high as it reached the start of last season, it's more consistent. And I think, you know, he has a real chance to hit double figures here. He's 4 goals off. There's a nice chunk of the season left. If he can do that, he's actually probably ready for maybe even La Liga, maybe even a nice crack at top level. It's not like Nico Paz, who I think is definitely ready for it pretty much at the end of this year. But yeah, I think things look promising for him, and it's a lovely place to be at the moment. I think he will get more first team opportunities on the base of that.
I mean, he might get more first team opportunities, but Hosselu is going to be back in a few weeks or a couple of weeks. Bellingham is probably going to be back for the Leipzig return leg. As for his most consistent season, I disagree with you. I don't think this is his most consistent season, because he is like scoring. So he has scored like what, 6 goals now?
Yeah.
I think he had reached a similar goal tally this time last season, and that's when he started to like wear off.
Yeah, right. I think you're right.
Yeah, so. But the thing is, last season he was doing other things apart from just scoring. This season, I don't really think he's done that much of it. He hasn't, like, obviously, it's not like he doesn't do any of the intangibles that he used to do, but it's just at a lower clip, I think. And yeah, the hype has died down a little bit because, well, he's not scoring as much, and Castilla are not winning as much.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about the team. We will talk about the past results in a minute. I want to focus on the 5-1 for now. Obviously, the other goals were scored by, I've got Dan here, Gonzalo Garcia and Victor Munoz, who I don't actually know very much about. I think I saw him score live. Did he score the goal against Atletico Madrid? B, that's a mental question to just pose randomly. I think that was his other goal. Yeah, that's correct. I've just seen it is. So I've seen him score live. And yeah, again, his teammates love him. That's all I can say about him. I don't know much about him as a player other than that.
He is highly rated.
But to be 5-0 up is very, very impressive, especially because Real Murcia are a pretty big club for third division standards. They were in the second division for years, quite a while ago. And one player, I will say, he didn't start, but he did come off the bench, was Pedro León. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He was in the Real Madrid first team for years.
Puerto Rican. Yeah. Wait, no.
You're thinking about Jeremy Devon, who actually didn't come on, but we will speak about him a little bit later. Pedro León was a Real Madrid first team player for years. He must be about 40 now. But it was interesting to see him actually come onto the pitch and play, because that's quite the player, and that these players can say that they've played against at this point. There's not many players in the third division that stand out. But yeah, names like that, it's good to see them still kicking on, because he must be 40. He must be.
You just said Pedro León. It just, like, I had a brain fart for like 2 seconds, and then I realized I do know who Pedro León is. Yeah.
The new trendy Jeremy de León.
I mean, it is a talking point, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, the only player that I can actually think of in the third division, I don't even know if he's still in it, but who was the striker who played for Arsenal who went back to Depor? Do you remember him? What was he called?
Oh, yeah, Jose Perez. Or something like that.
It's something like, yeah, something very similar to that. That's my memory killing me, you know, as I got older, it's horrible. But yeah, those two players are probably two
Lucas
of the biggest profiles.
Lucas
Perez, there we go. Yeah, two of the biggest profiles in the entire league. So when you come up against them, it's pretty cool. But yeah, 5-1 win. You can't really complain. We were talking about the previous results. So this is only the second win of the entire year. The first being the first game of the year. So for the last 6 games, there's been 4 losses and 2 draws. That leaves Real Madrid Castilla in 13th place. I think we've mentioned on and on again that if they finish in 10th place, that's probably a successful year for this squad. So 13th isn't, you know, that far off. But they also do have to be careful. If they keep this form up, obviously they can slip downwards towards the red zone, which is not what anyone wants. Do you think they are underachieving at 13th place? Have you been particularly unimpressed with them? Or do you think this is probably about their level? Just a few wins here and there, a few draws, a few losses.
I do think they're more of a team that's in like 10th, 11th and 13th. But saying that, they're only a point off of 11th. So I'm not too fussed about it. But I do think if they finish 13th, I would probably say it's a bit of an underachievement, I guess, because Castilla do have like decent talent. Finishing 13th isn't the end of the world, by the way. I completely agree with you.
I think it would be just under. I mean, we've set 10th as the bar. If you finish over that, it looks good. If you finish there, it looks fine. I think you're right. If they finish 13th and under there, then it doesn't look great. It's not the end of the world, but it doesn't look great, does it?
No, and I mean, they do have like one of the best players in the league, Nico Paz. They have a few really talented players. Manuel Angel, they have Cesar Palacios, and they have decent players. It's just the depth they're lacking and some quality in some positions. So I don't think 13th would be a really good place for them, but it wouldn't be the worst either. So it's kind of like, yeah, underachieving by a little. Apart from that, though, the losses they've had this season, in the last 3 games, they've lost to Algeciras 3-0, they lost to Merida 1-0, they lost to Ceuta 2-0, and then they lost to Atletico San Laguena. Merida are 17th in the table. They drew to Linares, were 16th in the table. And then they lost to Algeciras, were 7th, which is fair enough. And who was the last loss to? Ceuta. Ceuta are... Where are they? Can't see him. Oh, yeah, they're 9th. They don't have a bad...
Yeah, it's about the same. Nice, yeah, so similar team. But I suppose you're right. I think the only time I can actually remember Castilla finishing 17th or below, you won't believe this, was the Santiago Solari days.
I do believe you.
And in that squad, they had Odegaard, Valverde, Febas, Sergio Diaz, Hermoso, Philip Lionheart, Ashraf
Hakimi. Did they also have the best goalkeeper in the world?
They did. He did have Lucas Zidane that year.
That's probably why.
Christ almighty. Yeah, to be honest, it was part of the reason, yeah, massively. But it was that was just a grand failure. And think about how ridiculous it is that the man in charge of all of that was then given a shot at the first team. He was manager of Real Madrid first team. That's a whole podcast in itself. For some reason, controversial.
We should do it
because some people honestly view it as controversial because he would play some of the youngsters like Vinicius Jr., Sergio Aguilar, when he's come from the youth academy system. That's literally going to be the only benefit you get. But yeah, think about the results. He absolutely scrapped the Champions League 4-1 at home to Ajax. Was just...
Do you remember the hell week?
Yeah, the hell week. But the thing is, that's what it took to get him gone. He just stuck to your shoe like a piece of old chewing gum. It was so difficult.
You really don't like him, do you?
Like, beyond belief, you wouldn't believe. Like, I've had a lot of experience in the footballing world of managers, and that, without a doubt, he's the worst manager I've ever seen. Without a doubt. And we're talking amateur managers, semi-professional managers. I would have picked all of them for the Real Madrid job rather than him, because he was just rubbish. He was a great player and seems like a great person. But
Would you rather have him as coach or Lucas Zidane as goalkeeper?
What a horrible question. I mean, it's tough because Santiago Solari went on to coach, get fired from America or whatever. He couldn't even get jobs in the MLS at one point. But there was the benefit. People do have a point when they say that he would promote youth within the first team when other managers wouldn't. Because he knew that he must have known he was terrible and wasn't going to last long. He would literally just play them and they would have no fear because there would be no tactical system in place.
Blessing in disguise.
It is. But then Lucas Zidane now currently is a second division goalkeeper. Seems to be doing okay. It seems like he's just been given as many shots in life as possible because of his second name until he seems to do okay. So that's tough. That's a really tough question. Probably Lucas Zidane in goal currently. But if you're talking about their Real Madrid careers, probably Solari as manager, which is a mental thing to say.
It is a mental thing to say, yeah. But I don't like, horrible question. I mean, it's comparing to like really shit.
And unfortunately, yeah, they were there at the same time. But you think, yeah, that squad was so talented. They finished 17th. This squad has talent in areas, really, really exciting talent. But yeah, it doesn't have the kind of experience or the high superior level of talent to finish higher than 10th. I just don't see it. But yeah,
10th or 9th maximum.
Yeah, right. And you think they're probably going to finish between 10th to 13th, which is 4 to 7 places higher than Santiago Solari's team. And look at that squad. It's incredible. Yeah, mental. Yeah, but that went off course a little bit. So yeah, that was the recent form of Castilla. Hopefully they improve on that. And then obviously the next game, to improve on it, they've got to overcome Melilla next, who I don't think they were doing very well last time I checked, but they are a reasonably big club. They've got Melilla, the mini derby coming up. 19th, yeah, they used to be trying to get into the second division, so to be 19th is crikey. But yeah, so that's a winnable game. They've got Antequera, another winnable game. They've got the mini Madrid derby, and then it just seems to get a little bit more difficult from there. We've got Cordoba, Baleares, Castellón. So yeah, we will see if they can kind of try and get some sort of run of form going. But it is difficult. It's a difficult year, and all they've got to do is get results in half of those. Some of those can be draws, some of those can be wins, to get that kind of mid-table finish. So it isn't the end of the world, but after this season, it most certainly is time for Raul to move on. We've said this podcast after podcast. This, if he finished 13th or whatever we were talking about, 17th to 13th, that would be his worst ever season with Castilla.
Would it? In a season where
he shouldn't have been here. Like, he's reached the playoffs twice. He's been brilliant to the point where I couldn't speak more highly of him. And it's just, unfortunately, been a case of him staying too long when he's had opportunities to move to better teams in better leagues. It's disappointing it's come to this, but it is time at the end of the season for him to move on, and I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this for a while. I even tweeted this like not too long ago. He has outgrown Castilla by a country mile. Like,
yeah, right.
He is too good a coach to waste his career at Castilla. I'm just going to say that right now. I think Castilla, third division club, we're never going to play first division, obviously. Probably not going to be like in the top half of the second division either, if they do manage to get promotion at some point, which is, again, very tough. If Raul thinks of his potential as a second division coach at best, waiting for a Real Madrid job that might never come to him because Xabi Alonso success. I just think he is just putting a ceiling on his own potential. I really think if there's an offer that comes by of a first division club and in any league, by the way, I think he is a good coach. This team, I'm not like discrediting this team at all, but this team should have, like, it would be a way lower if it was another manager, I think, especially if it was Santiago Solari. But my point is, Raul is a good coach. Raul is about, like, in different terms, but he is just as young as the players that he coaches. But it's like Arribas staying for too long. It's like Del Toro staying for too long.
Yeah, right. No, 100%. And you look, and you actually look at some of the players. So I was doing this another day, and this will be actually the next podcast. We'll just do a kind of topical podcast on former teams, former players. There was a player called Alvaro Fidalgo who captained Castilla for a while. Played, I think, around 100 games. So he was there for a long time. He, at the moment, is actually doing really well, and he's getting a massive following online, mostly because he plays for a team that are huge in the Mexican league called Club America. Yeah. However, if he didn't stay at Castilla for so long, he would undoubtedly be playing in La Liga right now. Like, one of the top 10 teams in La Liga, 1,000,000%. So kind of holding these players back for too long. Alex Febas, there's so many players that just haven't reached the top of their game because, yeah, they've just been at Castilla. They get too comfortable. And Castilla is such a comfortable environment in comparison to actually going out and playing for a local professional club or even a club in another country or the other side of Spain or whatnot. I mean, when you go for the first time, because you will go and watch Castilla soon, I've got no doubt about it. Think about how comfortable it is for these young players, and then think about the money they're paid as well in comparison to the team that's visiting or the other teams in the league. It's a lovely place to be playing your football, Castilla. And for many of them, I think they get so comfortable that it becomes the best thing that they ever achieve, playing for Real Madrid Castilla. When probably the best thing to do is come, spend two seasons there, one getting used to professional football, one getting used to playing at your highest level, and then progress. And I think there's no better process in that, because then you're ready to go. You're ready to go into a different environment and perform at your best level, at the best level. If you stick for three or four seasons, I think you're done for. It's like having a dummy for too long when you're a baby. You're just asking for trouble.
that just threw me off. Raul is kind of doing the same thing as those players.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same for coaches. You're right.
How many games does he have as a coach? Let me check.
Oh my gosh, it would be a lot. He's actually been here for, what, three, four seasons now?
Oh, it's been a while.
He's had two playoffs. There was one high table finish. I think this is his fourth season. It could be his fifth, even.
Yeah, he started off in 1920. July 1st,
2019.
And
so
he's played
four. Yeah, right.
That's a lot.
Well, there's nothing else he can learn here. He's done the incredible. He's done a good season, and now he's struggled a little bit this season. There's nothing else he can learn.
And if he's waiting for the Madrid job, Carlo has just signed a contract for 3 years. Mm. And even if he leaves, I don't think Raul is the first choice. I don't think he is.
I think you're right. If he wins the Bundesliga, I think he will always be the first choice as well, because Real will have to equal that to being within contention. I mean, you can't do that being at Castilla. You literally have to go out and find a club where you can then go and prove the footballing world wrong or right, or whatever they think of him.
And I really think that if he had taken that job, or if he was like accepted for that job at Villarreal probably wouldn't be in this position, because he is a good coach. He knows how to make the best out of, like, you know, bad situations or bad teams. He can do it. I think him being there would have been so much better for his career and for Villarreal as well, because Villarreal are like, they just sacked their coach
took Raul's post.
Yeah.
He's gone, is he?
I think he is. I could be wrong.
You'll have to look that up. But honestly, if that's the case, that made me a little bit cross.
Let's see. He is gone.
He's gone?
No, we're not. Wait, no, he's not gone. He's probably not gone.
Oh, I was going to say, that would have not have been long at all. And then
Was he linked to the Villarreal job at the start of the season?
I think it was part of the way in.
Okay, so they had Pacheta. I think it was, actually. They had Pacheta from the September 9th to
okay, so like 10th not of long November. In then, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 10th
okay.
of November, they sacked him.
I reckon it was November then. Yeah. That's really interesting, but you're right. I mean, Villarreal, in terms of club stature, obviously it's a tougher league. Let's put that out there straight away. So the challenge would have been to win the Liga with Villarreal would have been ridiculously difficult. But in terms of stature, Leverkusen and Villarreal are not that different into like the quality that they've got on the pitch. It is there in abundance. There's a lot of very good players for both. Obviously, currently Leverkusen will wipe the floor with them, but that's only down to Xabi Alonso, effectively. and the way that he has set his team up. Yeah, that's an interesting choice. I mean, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm just looking at the squad that Villarreal have. They have some really talented players. Obviously, Gerard Moreno is good. Juan Foyth is a good centre-back / right-back. Gonzalo Guedes is on loan from Wolves. He's decent. Danny Parejo, always good.
Alexander Solov, he's a good striker. The best. Yeah, he is a good striker, yeah.
And they have Alfonso Pedraza. He was decent when I used to watch Villarreal. They have, oh my God, they have Morales. He's always scoring against Real Madrid.
Yes,
they have the cheat code. They're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, I think it would have been perfect for him. I honestly do. And I wonder if he's kicking himself a little bit. Obviously, I genuinely think either he was... There's two scenarios. He was waiting for that Real Madrid job and thought Carlo Ancelotti would have been out the door by now or by the end of the season. Or he was a little bit worried that he's outside of that Real Madrid environment and he is vulnerable out there because it is a very different world. But you're talking about a player that was so decorated in his career that he's done this ring before. He went to Schalke after spending his entire career at Real Madrid. And then he went to America and he was superb for both. He did really well in Germany and he was a huge kind of icon in America playing for the Cosmos, I think it was. I didn't heard of since Pelé joined them. So in every environment he's been in, he's been a success. So I don't think he would have got cold feet now. I think it literally would just be a case of he thinks that this is the best route into the first team hot seat. I don't know.
Either way, he's waited too long.
Yeah, exactly. It's gone a little bit sour either way. You're right. I mean, in terms of replacing him, who do you think would be the new manager? I mean, for me and you, I believe there's only probably one candidate for the job. And partly because I don't currently know anyone else who's kind of willing to coach young players at third division level who's at that stage. I don't know him. But obviously Alvaro Arbeloa is coming from a natural progression of the under 19s, done pretty well. We spoke before the pod and it looks like he is second place in the league at the moment. So not winning it, but seems to have done everything necessary and required to manage Castilla in the future. So I'll be all for that. If another exciting manager came along, I just can't think of one. If another one did come along, I'd be all for that as well. But normally there's one or two candidates I can think of. But yeah, right now, it's pretty much a one-horse race. And it looks like Arbeloa will win it.
That is if Raul leaves. He's blocking the pathway for not only himself, but also for Arbeloa.
He surely has to at this point. I'm pretty sure if he stays for another season, it'll be, the longest Castilla manager, or at least one of them ever?
I think he still is.
He will be right out there. He will be now.
The last time
right.
I checked, he was top two.
God.
I have a question for you.
While
I do some research. do you think if Raul stays for another season, do you think Arbeloa takes the Xabi Alonso route and just leaves?
I don't think he's a talented coach, I think. So I'm not going to say he can't. What I'm going to say is Xabi Alonso now is getting towards untouchable levels in terms of a shortlist for a potential first team Real Madrid candidacy, because that's a good question. If I was Arbeloa, I would leave. Let's put that out there right now. However, I don't know the talent of him. I don't know if he could then pull off a similar thing. Maybe he doesn't even want to. Maybe that Arbeloa doesn't really see himself in the Real Madrid first team hot seat in the future. So he just is planning to leave anyway. And his time at the academy will be enough to do that. I don't know. There's a lot of factors into that. I would say I think he would stay. But he certainly could leave. It just depends on his ambition.
That's a good point. It depends on what he wants to do. If he wants to take the role,
do you think he seriously sees himself as a potential first team manager?
I don't think he sees himself as a first team manager at Real Madrid, but he does see himself as a first team manager somewhere else because he has the talent. And Xabi Alonso actually did the same thing where he left for Sociedad B, won them the title, and then left for Bayer Leverkusen. So I wouldn't put it past Arbeloa to do a similar thing where he just leaves for another academy club that maybe wants him to be the second team coach and then progress from there if he does well. He could take that route. It just depends on how much he wants to wait and how his ambitions are, how big his ambitions are. And I've done research. Raul is comfortably he has spent the most time in the club, more than any other coach in history. He's been in the job for 1,700 days, and he's done 158 games.
It's mental, because when he would have come in, we would have been not fresh onto the scene, but we certainly would have been following Castilla's every single move, watching every single game. And it's incredible to think how things have changed just in terms of access to Castilla games and the way that all our schedules are a little bit busier now and a little bit more different. You know, you've moved to England. It's incredible to think about the journey from the start of Raul's tenure to the end that we've all had to go on, and the way that this podcast and Castilla Corner and Castilla Stats, for all the matter, has progressed. Yeah, that's a long time, man. That is a long time.
I was a minor when Raul became coach.
That's crazy. I mean, it was pre-COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pre-COVID. It was,
and I know that
July 2019.
Those years have just blipped by. I get that. But for some reason with Raul, it seems like they haven't. It does seem like he's been here an awful long time.
Yeah. Wow. I don't even remember the last coach. Like, obviously, it was...
I'm actually going to have to look it up. This is the thing with my memory and me getting old, because I'm getting older as well. That, you know, the time is ticking. My memory is stinking. I think it wasn't Manolo Diaz just before Raul, was it?
It could have been.
Diaz. He was awesome. I really liked him. But there's someone who had no interest really in being a coach. he just wanted to go back to his, I think he had like a director or academy head role or something like that. He had a decent role that he just wanted to go back to. Yeah, incredible. Nuts.
Tino Zidane has more points per game than Raul.
Who?
Zidane.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean,
he did play less games, obviously.
But the thing is, a lot less games. But Raul has actually been a far better Castilla coach. I mean, Zidane was fine. Yeah, he was by no means a bad coach. People seem to think he was, but he was fine with Castilla. But obviously he didn't really take off until, yeah, he got to that first team gig. In fact, the only bad coach, I'm going to say it again, is unfortunately Solari. I can't think of another coach I thought you haven't really got it.
Let's see. I don't see anyone.
I've been watching since 2010, 2011. I cannot think of another coach who has even been bad, let alone terrible, but just bad.
I'm just trying to look at the worst points per game average.
Yeah, have a look at that. I mean, it probably will be meaningless with kids, but maybe it will be Solari anyway.
Is this the coach of, there's a team in Saudi, he's called Mikel.
Who?
I don't know if it's Mikel in 2006-07. He had a point average of 1.7.
This is getting back now. Yeah, maybe that was the last one. I don't know. But that's a long time ago, you know, a long time ago. And the only one I've seen certainly is Solari. So we've been lucky in a way. And I hope we continue to get decently talented coaches. Interesting. Nice. Yeah. I think we only have one talking point left. And I wanted to speak about this first, but we're going to have to do it last. And it is the case of Calen Vickers. This is the last time we're going to speak his name. He successfully used Real Madrid's name. You can tell that the agents just put Real Madrid's name out there, because he did get a move in the end. He moved to Premier League club Brighton. Reading, obviously, in a lot of trouble, needed the money. I think they sold a lot of their first team players. They're stuck in the third division in a Depor-like manner, just through their own kind of administration and errors in the past, spending too much. But I wish them the best. Calen Vickers, I wish him the best. I would have loved to see him at Castilla. Not going to happen. So we will have to stick with Jeremy De Leon as our only new signing. Now, for the next podcast, I am trying to get a guest on, and it's someone who actually first scouted De Leon and brought him to Spain. So I really want to try and get him on. He's agreed to do it. It's just, again, a schedule issue, as always. But hopefully the next podcast we do, we'll have our first guest, probably since around COVID time. I can't remember the last guest on.
I haven't even seen a guest since I've been.
Yeah, we used to get a few coaches, ex-players. We've never actually got a current player. Which would be amazing, but it's just so difficult with the way that they're media trained and what they are and are and not allowed to say and do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be good. I've seen that he's available coming up. So hopefully we will have that podcast ready for you guys later. Other than that, I think we might be done here.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to discuss now. We've discussed most things that we've
A reasonably short and sharp podcast as per. I hope you guys enjoyed. We will take questions for the next one because it's been a couple pods since we've done that as well. So yeah, look forward to that. The interview and a Q&A coming up. Other than that, I assume it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Thank you for listening as always. And hopefully we can get the gang back together at some point this year.
Yeah,
I don't even know when that's happening. Everyone's busy. But yeah, until then, until next time. Yeah. Until next time. Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid. Sports Social Podcast Network.